Her face was crisscrossed with old scars, seamed with collagen. She was panting heavily, her breath coming out as white vapor, her chest rising and falling. But her hands were steady. She pushed up a set of ski goggles until they were resting against her woolen hat, her lank blonde hair spilling over the collar of her coat. Her snowmobile was lying on its side to her right, where it had plunged to a stop in a snowdrift after she'd been forced off the road. It had dark smoking holes in its side, but the front shield had protected her from the bullets. Pools of blood had already started to leak out of the bodies of the two men slumped in the snow in front of her. It should have been her lying there, but the heavily falling snow had saved her life. The pair who'd come to kill her clearly weren't used to the harsh climate and hadn't been prepared for the sudden change in the weather. Neither of them had been wearing any goggles, and the horizontal wind-driven snow from a passing storm had obscured their vision as they'd opened fire when she sped into view. The moment she'd realized she was driving into an ambush, she swerved into the pile of snow at the side of the road, which threw her off her transport. She'd scrambled behind the cover of the snowbank, the men continuing the fire on her position as she used the drift and poor visibility to flank them. Looping her way around and sliding open the knife she always carried in the pocket of her coat, she crept up behind one of the guys as he moved in on the drift, where he thought she was. She'd slashed open his throat in one fast movement and then shot the other with the dead man's weapon, a pistol, before he'd had time to sense he'd been outwitted. The weapon hadn't been silenced, and the gunshots echoed like thunderclaps around the wintry landscape. But there was no one to hear them. They were miles from anyone and anywhere. The shell casings from the rounds the men had fired and the two shots she just made had burned little black holes in the white snow, the falling white flakes already beginning to cover them. It had been just over a year since she'd last killed a man. On this occasion, the bad weather and remote location meant that there was little risk of cars passing. But she'd learned from her time in this country that guides took more adventurous tourists anywhere and everywhere, the weather proving no barrier. She pictured passing strangers suddenly stumbling onto the scene, seeing the red blood stark against the white landscape, with her standing there holding a gun and knife. Time to move. She could still just about make out the tracks the two men had made when they'd arrived to lie in wait for her. But the falling snow was quickly masking them, so she knew she had to hurry. She checked their pockets for keys and found a set in the coat of the man who she just shot. Neither was carrying identification, but she had a pretty good idea where they were from and who'd sent them. Leaving their bodies lying there, she put her goggles back in place and started to retrace the men's footprints. 10 minutes later, and out of breath, she came upon a Toyota Land Cruiser, with snow chains fitted, parked behind some trees, and found paperwork inside identifying it as a rental from Keflavik Airport. The key worked, confirming that it was their vehicle, and she drove it back the way she'd come, stopping beside the two dead men, their bodies already partially covered with new snow. Carefully tucking every strand of hair inside her hat, she tried to drag the bodies into the two front seats, but they were too heavy. Dead man's weight. Frustrated, she thought for a moment, then opened the rear door of the Toyota. She knew from her time here that cars in Iceland were stocked with gear in case they got stuck in snow or had to pull someone else out. And after a quick search, she found a pair of towing straps inside. She clipped one side of each onto the Toyota's recovery hooks, then lassoed the others around the dead man's ankles, double-looping the cord before pulling and clipping them tight. Once that was done, she looked down at the frozen lake ahead, which was spread out below the slightly higher slope she was on. The car beside her was of a European design, the parking brake located in the center console. She'd already checked the Toyota's gear was in neutral, and that the wheels were pointing directly ahead. She then reached in, ensuring she wasn't snagged on anything, or had left any hairs she could see on the seat. Nothing a forensic team could use later. Releasing the handbrake, she pulled back,